Welcome to the latest episode of the Gospel Podcasts. These recordings are published weekly by the Christians that assemble at the Hospital Hill Gospel Hall in Dunfermline, Scotland. Be assured you are in our prayers, and we know that God will bless you for listening. Further information is provided at the end of this short podcast. I now pass you over to the latest message recently recorded at the Gospel Hall. Thank you.
The Gospel by Luke, please, and chapter 2. Now, this is the story of the birth of the Lord Jesus. It's not just a story for Christmas. It's a story for every time of the year. And we're going to think about how God spoke to shepherds and what they did. So Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Now we know that the Lord will bless this reading from the scriptures. Now, although this event occurs at the beginning of the life of the Lord Jesus, it contains some very important details about the Lord Jesus himself. But the first thing I want us to notice is that in these verses we have a message that comes from God. This angel of the Lord that we read of didn't just decide himself just to come to earth and speak to these shepherds. This angel was sent by God. And this angel was sent with a message from God to communicate to these men. And that really is what this meeting is about. We've come together this afternoon to preach the gospel. The gospel is a message from God. In Paul's writings, he writes to the Romans and he says this about the gospel, that it is the gospel of God. And what Paul means by that is that he didn't make it up himself. It wasn't his own imagination. It was a communication from God himself. And the wonderful thing this afternoon is God has a message for us here in Dunfermline, in this little meeting room in 2026. God still has a message for us. And that is a wonderful thing to think. You might ask the question, would God speak to me? Does God have anything to say to me? I might be unimportant in this world, but we want to tell you that God has a message for you. Now, these men were naturally very fearful when the angel came down and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were fearful. And that was not a bad thing, because we need to understand that we're dealing now with things that relate to our Creator. God is real. God is almighty. God is holy and righteous. God is not a God that we can trifle with. and play around with. We need utmost seriousness and sobriety when we come to think about God. And naturally enough, when this angel descended and was in their presence, these shepherds were afraid. Now, what we really want to notice is that the angel tries, as it were, to set these men at ease, and he tells them about the nature of the message that he brings. And the angel says, as we read, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." And that is what the gospel is. The word gospel actually means good news. And so, yes, God has a message for me. That's one thing. But what kind of message does he have for me? Well, the word of God is going to show to us that it is a message of good tidings. And you say, well, what good tidings? What good news does God have for me? Well, it really is, in a sense, the same kind of message as was given to these shepherds away back in the Judean hills almost 2,000 years ago. Because this message is focused upon the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to think about what this angel told these men about the Lord Jesus. Now, the Lord Jesus, if we just read the couple of verses before the ones we began at, has just been born as a baby in Bethlehem. And the Lord Jesus then has become incarnate. He is the incarnate Son of God. That is to say that he was God eternally, but he became a man. And not a full-grown man initially, but he became a baby. And he grew up in this world in a wonderful way. And this is the event that is made known to us here in verse 11. But I want to focus on this, that the angel tells these shepherds that the person who had been born is a saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And I want to direct your attention for most of our time this afternoon to this great truth that the Lord Jesus came as the saviour. Now you might say, why do I need a saviour? Well, the idea behind the word saviour is obviously to save people, to rescue people. That indeed is the meaning of the name Jesus that was given to the Lord Jesus at his birth. He was called Jesus, and the name Jesus means the Lord, the Saviour, or the Lord is salvation. And when Joseph was told about this name, he was told why he was to give this name, because the Lord Jesus would save his people from their sins. And this afternoon, the reason you and I need a saviour is because we have sins that need to be forgiven. These sins may be many and varied, but they are all against God. When man was created in Genesis chapter 2, and he lived in the Garden of Eden, very soon it seems that Adam and Eve disobeyed God. They fell, and sin entered into the world. And the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5 that by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so sin has passed, or death has passed upon all men, for the all have sinned. And that's where we find ourselves this afternoon. If we do not know the Lord Jesus as our Saviour, we find ourselves under sin, and we have sins that are going to bring upon us the judgment of God. And our sins are going to result in an eternal separation from God. And that is why we need a Saviour. And that is the good news that the angel brought, because now the Saviour had been born. Now, the New Testament is full of teaching about the Lord Jesus in this capacity. If we were to come over to the later chapters of Luke's Gospel, in chapter 19, the Lord Jesus said this: "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." And so this afternoon, if we're not a believer in the Lord Jesus, if we haven't had our sins forgiven, then the Bible views us as being lost to God. But the good news is the Lord Jesus came with the express purpose of saving men and women who presently are lost to God, lost in our sins, but the Lord Jesus came to be the Saviour. Now, if we go to other passages of the Bible, we'll find this same truth taught. So when Paul wrote to his friend Timothy, he included these words: Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Paul would say of himself, of whom I am chief. He's not putting himself on a pedestal. He's not saying he is better than anybody else. And we certainly are not saying we are better than yourself either. We're all sinners in the sight of God. We've fallen short of his standard. But the Lord Jesus has come that he might save sinners. Again, we might come to the preaching of Peter in Acts chapter 4. And then he reminds the people that he was preaching to that there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so it's really good this afternoon that you've taken time to come and listen to the gospel, because the Bible teaches us this matter of salvation is a must. It's a real necessity. If we want to be right with God, and if we want to be prepared for heaven, then we need the Lord Jesus as our Saviour. This is the reason why God sent his Son. John tells us in 1 John chapter 4, the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. And so this world has the opportunity. Men and women and boys and girls have the opportunity to be saved, because the Saviour has come and the Saviour has procured salvation. Now, what we need to understand is this, that whilst this afternoon we've read about the birth of Christ, the fact that the Lord Jesus became a man was not enough to procure salvation for men. What was necessary was the Lord Jesus needed to go to the cross. He needed to die for our sins. And so Paul puts it like this in 1 Corinthians 15, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. The reason why there is salvation and there is a Saviour is because the Lord Jesus, the Saviour, gave his life for us. Gave his life as a sacrifice for sins, paid the debt that we could not pay, so that you and I might be saved. Now, you might ask the question this afternoon, well, that's wonderful, but what do I need to do? I want to be in heaven, and I want to be rid of my sins, and I want to have a relationship with God. What do I need to do? Well, there was a man in a jail in Philippi, in the Macedonian city of Philippi, and he asked that very question. He asked the question to Paul and his friend Silas, and he said, what must I do to be saved? And he got a very interesting answer. The answer was this: believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. You say, do we not have to do anything else? No, you don't need to do anything else. God wants you just to trust in his Son, to have faith in his Son. And the idea in the language that was used by the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 16 is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It really is depending on him. And so there are folk in this room this afternoon, and if you were to ask us, what are you depending on to get to heaven? We would say we're just depending completely on the Lord Jesus Christ to take us to heaven. We're not trying to please God or attain his favor by our works. We should please God, but that will not get us into heaven. Only the Lord Jesus is able to save us. Only the Lord Jesus is able to deliver us from our sins, because he's paid the price for sins. In his death and his resurrection, the Bible says that he was delivered up to the cross for our justification, for our offenses, our sins, but he was raised again for our justification. That means that we can be right with God. We can be before God accepted by him with no feeling of guilt or anything like that. But we need to believe in him. The Bible puts it another way in Romans chapter 10. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you might say to me, what does it mean to call upon the name of the Lord? That seems a strange way of speaking. What does it mean? Well, let me illustrate for you from a biblical example that illustrates that just perfectly. There was a day when Peter and the disciples were in a boat, and they were sailing on the Sea of Galilee, and a storm arose, and the Lord Jesus came to them walking on the sea. And Peter said, Lord, if it's you, can I get out of the boat and walk to you? And the Lord says, come. And so Peter gets out of the boat, and something remarkable happens. He walked on the water too. But then he noticed the waves and the winds and so on, and he took his eye off the Lord Jesus, and he began to sink. And just as he began to sink, he calls out to the Lord Jesus, Lord, save me. That's calling upon the name of the Lord. You see, he wasn't trying to save himself. He knew that was hopeless. And he wasn't looking to his fellow disciples in the boat, because they really couldn't help him either. But he looked to the Lord Jesus and he just asks, Lord, save me. That's what it means to call upon the name of the Lord. Now, it doesn't have to be an outward call. Nobody else has to hear it. But in your heart, before God, if you call upon the name of the Lord, then the promise of the Bible is this: you'll be saved. Just as that Philippian jailer was, he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and he was saved. Now, you might say, well, why should I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? What is different about him from anybody else? I know there are many messages in the world today and many religions, and people think that maybe all these kind of religions are equivalent, but that's not the teaching of the Bible. The Lord Jesus made it very clear that he is the only way to God. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He says, I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And you might say, what is special about the Lord Jesus? Well, we've mentioned one thing that is very special about him. It is this, that he was the one that died for us on the cross. He's paid the price and he's triumphed over death. But the angel went on to tell us who this Saviour is. He is Christ the Lord. You see, the Lord is a title of God. It's the name that is used in the Old Testament many, many times, the name Jehovah. And so the Lord Jesus, though he became a man, nevertheless, he is God. And he is possessed with all power and ability. And he is able to save completely all that come to God by him. Indeed, that's what the New Testament teaches us in Hebrews chapter 7. He is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. And he can save you. And you can be absolutely confident of it. And you can have the assurance of it and the peace of it by just coming and recognizing before God that what he says about you is true. You are a sinner in the sight of God. And to turn from that and put your confidence and your trust wholly upon the Lord Jesus Christ. What a message for these shepherds to hear in the Judean hills during a night time. It was dark when all this took place, and the light of God's good news came upon them, and they heard about the Lord Jesus. Now, the point about this passage is this. These men did not simply sit in the field and stay in the field. They recognized that there was a response that was required. And I want you to listen to their words. As soon as the angels had departed, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go. Let us now go. even unto Bethlehem. You see, they'd understood about the message. That we haven't spoken about it, but the Lord Jesus was born in the city of David, which was called Bethlehem. That was prophesied in the Old Testament hundreds of years before the Lord Jesus came. But the point is this, they responded to the message that they heard. They didn't dismiss it. They didn't say, well, we'll need to think about it. They didn't say, well, I'll need to hear it again another time. No, let us now go. Let us now go, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. You see, these men recognized that although an angel had brought them the message, the angel came as a messenger of the Lord. This message came from the Lord. The Lord was speaking to them. And we say this afternoon, the same haste and the same urgency and the same determination is needed in each of our hearts. God is looking for the response of faith to hearing his word. Now, we don't have to go to Bethlehem. We don't have to go on a journey at all like that. But we do need to respond to this message. The Bible says this today. If you will hear his voice, the voice of God, and we've heard his voice from the word of God, the Holy Spirit says, don't harden your heart. What that means is this. Don't resist what God is saying. Don't dismiss what God is saying. Don't just put it off for another time. This is the opportunity. This is the day. Indeed, when Paul writes to the Corinthians, a church in the New Testament, in his second letter to them, he says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is God's day of salvation. God has given you this opportunity. God has given you this day that you might hear the gospel, that you might get right with him, that you might be fitted for heaven, not because we deserve it, but because of his grace, because of his mercy, because of his love. But we must respond. And we must respond now. And so they came and they discovered what the angel had told them was true. Exactly true. Just as they had been told. So they would find the babe wrapped in swaddling bands, lying in a manger. There was no other babies in Judea like that at that time. This was unique to the Lord Jesus. And they discovered that what God told them was true. And this afternoon, we want to assure you, Satan might whisper otherwise, just as he did to Eve in the garden. Question the word of God. Challenge the word of God. But God's word is true. And you can depend on it. And really what we want to be is just like these shepherds who, having responded to the message that was given to them by God, they glorified and praised God. You see, that's what God wants from our hearts. This is the song, if you like, he wants from our hearts. He wants us to be praising him and glorifying him. You see, that's why we were made. You might ask the question this afternoon as we bring our little message to a close. Why did God make me? What's the purpose of life? Why am I here? These are profound questions. But the purpose of life is this, that we might come to know God. And then we might have a relationship with him. That we might have what the Bible calls eternal life. And this eternal life is a relationship with God as Father, brought into his family. That's why in John chapter 3, the Lord Jesus spoke about being born again. Born into God's family, becoming a child of God and having a relationship with God as Father and being able to glorify and praise God. And so this afternoon, these verses are normally read, of course, later on in the year, but they're verses for every month of the year. And this afternoon, we too want to understand that God has a message for us, just as he had a message for the shepherds. And that message is good news. It offers salvation and it presents to us the Lord Jesus as the Savior of sinners. And he's looking for a response from my heart. May there be a response from yours, and may you come to be able to speak of the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. Again, we remind you of the words of the Apostle Paul, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.
Thank you once again for taking the time to listen to this, the latest episode in the Gospel Podcast series. We trust that God will bless you for listening. And if you've not already done so, that you would take this opportunity to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the eternal salvation of your precious soul. If you would like further information, or indeed a free personal copy of God's Word, the Bible, you're welcome to contact us. Full contact details can be found on our website, www.hospitalhillgospelhall.org. May God bless you, and goodbye for now.